So this is what you do the first time we're back together as a family, Vampire Book Club.
Warning, this podcast, Vampire Book Club, will contain spoilers from The Vampire Diaries, The Originals, and Legacies. Hey everyone, welcome to my podcast, Vampire Book Club Diaries. Again, there will be spoilers from any of The Vampire Diaries universe, including the books, shows, and whatever that may be relatable to this. Don't forget to follow me on social media. The link will be in the description below. In today's episode, I'm going to be talking about Damon Salvatore's top six friendships ranked in order and some honorable mentions. As we know, Damon has some of the best friendships in the entire universe. He probably has the most friendships, which is ironic because of his character being such a dick and very selfish, but it seems to work out for him in the friend zone. So before I get started with the actual list, I am going to start off with a few honorable mentions. And the first one that I'm going to start with is probably going to be a little bit controversial. And a big part of me really wanted to put this on the list was Caroline Forbes, but I did not because of how the relationship started out. Even though at some point Caroline admits that she forgives him, I do not. He manipulates her and puts her through a lot of tragic things, and a lot of these are like vampire predator things, but just like feeding on her and all those kinds of things. But he grapes her, which is so not okay in any way, shape, or form, and that bothers me a lot. But I still put her on this list at least because they do, towards the end of the show, have a great relationship. It gets a lot better throughout time when they're all trying to get Elena's humanity back, and at the prom. And Elena just stole Caroline's dress. He gives her a flask and they kind of have like a little moment together. They have a lot of like sibling bonding moments. Like when he walks into Whitmore and he's just like, Damon, towel knock. And he's like, Caroline, no one cares. No. I would say that the biggest turning point in the relationship is definitely when Liz is dying of cancer and Caroline sees how much that Damon really does care about his mother. She knows that he has always been her friend, but she didn't realize how deep that the bond was between them and how much Damon really did care. I think Damon was the only person that understood what it meant to lose Liz like Caroline did, is what she says when she's lost in Damon's mind trying to find him and says she's not going to give up on him because of that. And Liz Forbes has Damon deliver his eulogy because of his own stuff with his mother. And he gives a eulogy for Caroline that is absolutely perfect. It makes me cry. Basically saying what Caroline needs to hear, because that's who it's about. That's the advice that Elena gives him in that moment after losing so many people. In season 8, when Damon is under the siren spell, well, Sybil's spell, on Christmas, Caroline gives him a present and says, this is for you, for a future version of you who's going to ask me for my forgiveness. And then Damon goes to go give this present. He doesn't even care. He goes to give this present to Sybil and sees the necklace and rips it off of her and rips out Sybil's heart because it does something for him. He doesn't exactly know what that is. And then we see them in Mystic Falls, the same season, dancing and her bringing back his feelings for Elena when they danced at Mystic Falls. And then again, when they're going to get married, like, when Caroline and Stefan are going to get married, we have Damon taking out Stefan for drinks, but when he is human now, Stefan gets a little too wasted, and then Damon comes back and says, I need to carry this party on, and goes out and has moments about Liz with Caroline, and then she starts crying, like, I wish my mom was here, Bonnie's not going to be there, Elena's not going to be there, and he stops her and gives her the necklace and says, I want this back, but Elena will be there with you tomorrow. And it's really cute, and they come a long way, and in the end, they're like, she leans on him when they're talking about Stefan at his funeral, and it's just so beautiful. They come a long way, but like I said, I could not actually add them on the list because of how they started out. And the next one that I'm going to put is going to be Elena, and I understand that they were more than just friends. They ended up having a relationship romantically. However, I'm talking about before that started. I'm talking about like the first two seasons. I love their friendship. I think it's absolutely beautiful. I think that she's one of the first people to believe in him. She sees the good in him when nobody else can. And he starts to care about her when he doesn't really care for much of anyone, with probably the only exception being Stefan. But she calls him out for that kind of stuff, and I like that. I like how he takes her from that flipped car and kind of just, you know, brings her with him for the day, and then like doesn't compel her the entire time. And they just have a lot of good, caring moments in those first two seasons. I like the relationship that they had and how she holds him accountable before they start dating, at least. The next honorable mention is going to be Damon and Rose's friendship. I'm really disappointed at how short of a time they got together. Obviously, it makes sense why, but I just wanted to see them explored a bit more. We first meet Rose when she has kidnapped Elena, and Damon first meets her when she runs away after Elijah is there, after she tried to trade Elena to Elijah, and her best friend of 500 years just died because of Elijah. She ends up going back to Mystic Falls because she really doesn't have anybody else, and tries to help Damon and sees that Damon is also alone. They end up hooking up and actually have a lot more things in common than we realize. She basically says that she's going to stick around and help Damon save Elena and do all things Elena. And he's just like, oh, maybe it's because you want me or whatever. And she's like, no, I don't love men that are in love with other women. I respect myself more than that, but I'm not saying I can't be your special friend. And he's like, ooh, I like you. But she ends up getting bitten by a werewolf, which this is where it gets really cute. I mean, not cute, but you guys get it. He feels super guilty because the werewolf that bit her is the one that he was provoking earlier during the day. And there is no known cure at this point. So he tries to kind of help her out and takes care of her while she's sick and dying. Has Elena stay with her so he can go handle something else and try to find a cure for it. Figures out that there's not a cure for it. She's free around the world, causing chaos, hallucinating, doing all kinds of crazy things. Feels awful about hurting somebody. He feels awful about her. Brings her back and gets inside of her head, giving her a beautiful last day back at her family home. And never tells anybody about it. And Elena finds out about it when Jeremy is trying to figure out who turned Rose, so they can figure out what sire line they're from. And that's how Elena finds out. But she's like, why did you never tell anyone? And she's just like, I mean, and Damon's answer is, well, it had nothing to do with you. And he just doesn't care about like getting a good rap. He just did it because it was the thing to do. And while he's doing that, he ends up staking her and killing her so the suffering will stop. It's a very beautiful, sad moment, and it shows how deeply Damon can care, especially about somebody that he's met so briefly. Okay, so number 6 on my list is going to be Damon's friendship with Jeremy Gilbert. And while I know he tries to kill him at one point, Damon definitely cares about Jeremy, and I think Damon even cares about Jeremy on his own accord, nothing to do with Elena. After Damon kills Jeremy, Jeremy tries to retaliate and ends up coming to his senses, saying like, oh, my dad and my uncle, they hated vampires, and I thought maybe like if I do this that I'll be just like them for no reason. Even though technically he does have a reason, he was just killed by him. And Damon kind of makes fun of the way he whittled. He's like, except, you know, it was 1864 and people knew how to whittle. And that was also a pretty cute bonding moment. He gives Jeremy advice about girls. Hot Trump's weird every time while they're sitting there playing Xbox together. I like those moments. That was kind of cute. Put the crossbow down, Pocahontas. He does also have hearts to hearts on Elena's behalf. Like, go easy on her when she compelled him the first time. He's like, no, she erased my memories. He's like, no, I did. She was trying to protect you. He lets Jeremy sneak behind Elena's back and join them when they're doing things or to find out information, like with Mason Lockwood. He also sneaks him some pot for a going away present that he actually ends up smoking with Elena. But yeah, Damon is the one who trains Jeremy when he becomes a vampire hunter. And they have like brotherly moments there too, where they're teasing each other a lot. He's like, oh, what's the matter? Did you run out of my sister's voicemails to listen to? And then it turns out Jeremy has to kill a vampire. Bonnie comes up and is like, you need to kill a vampire to break the hunter's curse for Elena. And Damon, he's just like, okay, give me a stake right now. I'll kill Damon. And Damon is trying to give Jeremy some advice, and he's just like, save the teaching moment. Elena's not here. Don't pretend you actually care about me. He's like, I'm trying to keep you alive, dumbass. It's pretty funny. When he is compelled by Cole to kill Jeremy, he allows himself to be locked up. Klaus is like, I thought there would be more of a fight from you. He's like, well, I'm not going to kill my brother's, my girlfriend's brother. He's also like, seriously, you're going to bleed while you're being hunted by a vampire? And he tells Jeremy to kill him and shoot him in the heart, and he shoots him in the head. So Jeremy does care too. And when Elena is at college and Damon is supposed to be taking care of him and he almost dies, he's like, no, you little punk. You're not supposed to die on me. I was supposed to be taking care of you. And he does care about Jeremy. He protects Jeremy in a lot of different situations or tries to keep him out of trouble. But they have like a really good like brother or uncle relationship, I would say. In season 5, when no one realizes that Bonnie is dead and Jeremy decides to tell Damon first, it almost looks like Damon is going to kill Jeremy because he's so upset that this has happened and there's no way to fix everything that they need to fix. But he runs up to Jeremy and gives him a big hug because he's like, oh, you lost Bonnie too. This is sad. Like, I feel bad for you. I'm sorry. I also love that Damon calls him Lil Gilbert. Lil Gilbert. Sorry. And Jeremy's constantly calling him a dick. And they're just cute. Number 5 is going to be Damon and Enzo. They first meet each other in the 1950s. They are trapped together in Augustine in cells. They are prisoners to be experimented on, as they are both vampires. Their bond is very similar to a lot of like siblings' bonds, where they went through the same shit and nobody else understands it but them, and they will always be connected because of that. They literally had like their body parts cut out together so they could grow back to see how it happens and what happens. They were trapped together for about 5 years, and they came up with a plan to break free on one of these New Year's parties. They were both going to become free. However, only Damon gets released from the cage, and he ends up turning his humanity off because he does care about Enzo too. When Damon was at his lowest and didn't believe in his own brother or didn't believe in anything, Enzo lifted him up and told him that everything was going to be okay and helped him get through some of the darkest period of his life. And he knew he couldn't save himself. He would have died if he didn't shut his emotions off, which honestly he didn't die, but he wouldn't have been free if he didn't shut his emotions off, because he couldn't leave without, while he still cared about Enzo. Enzo wants revenge against Damon, but honestly, I don't really think he wants that. He finds out that Damon actually did do what they planned on doing, that he ended up killing every member in the Whitmore family and leaving one each time to know what it feels like to have nobody. And after Catherine rejects Damon and Elena's body, Damon goes on a killing spree and ends up killing Aaron Whitmore too. And they kind of bond with each other. And then Stefan ends up killing Enzo. And we see Damon's like, no, I'm going to get him back on track. He was my friend. Like, he helped me through my darkest times. I'm going to find him. I'm going to get him back on track. And we see, like, Carolyn's like, no, something's going on between Stefan and Elena. Like, they're doing something. Just thinking that they're hooking up. And Damon's like, yeah, they have been kind of sketchy about Enzo. She's like, no, you're wrong. It's nothing to do with that. And he ends up, like, you know, caring about Enzo. And then Enzo finds out that the person that he was holding on to for 70 years was killed by a vampire in Mystic Falls, and assumes that it was Stefan in the fashion that this woman was killed, but it ended up being Damon. And he's like, you were there with me. You knew what it felt like to hold on to somebody to have hope, and you killed her? He's like, I'm sorry, I didn't know it was her. like, don't hate him, hate me. And Enzo's like, I can't hate you, because if I hate you, then I have no one. And it's so sad. At some point, Damon is injected with a serum that turns vampires to feed on vampires until they are dead, like a ripavirus for feeding on vampires specifically. They trap Damon into this room, and Enzo is stuck in there too. And Enzo could leave, but he chooses not to. He's like, I don't abandon my friends. And it's really cute. After everybody who's ever abandoned Enzo, he is like amazing, because he does better for others than what he has ever been through, regarding those he loves, at least. Even when Stefan and Alaric are about to give up, well, Stefan does give up, and Alaric said he understands. Enzo never does. Enzo never gives up on Damon. He gets mad at Stefan for giving up on Damon. He says a real brother would never give up on... Brothers don't give up on each other. And it was really cute. I loved it. That he cares about Damon. And I understand why Stefan... I'm kind of mad at him, but I understand it. I get it. His feelings were hurt. He thought there was no hope. And he just needed his big brother. And while they are both under Sybil's siren spell, Damon's like, man, you got to shut your humanity off. She's going to catch you. And it shows that, like, Damon cares about Enzo too. Number 4 on my list is going to be the sheriff, Liz Forbes. They originally meet in the 90s, even though I believe he compels her to forget that they had met. They have a brief conversation about Caroline and how her husband would really like him to come over for dinner. Turns out in the future, her husband was in the closet and he is actually gay. When Damon decides that he's going to live in Mystic Falls, he ends up covering his tracks and joining the Founders Council and gaining Liz's trust by killing Lexi. None of the other Founders Council has ever killed a vampire, and they need Damon again. They thought their vampire problem was over. However, it was not over. There was still a vampire lurking around, which ended up being Logan Fell. They become friends and have genuine conversations, genuine interest in each other, and they just have a real bond. So there's a scene in season 2 where Mason Lockwood turns in Damon and Stefan to Liz Forbes, and she is like very upset, very devastated, like, no, he can't be a vampire. Reveins him, finds out he is in fact a vampire. Caroline, as a vampire herself, overhears this, tells Elena, fights Mason, is afraid to let her mom see her because she's afraid of her reaction. Caroline ends up saving Damon and Stefan by killing all the other people in the room other than Liz. Liz is pretty distraught after not only her best friend being a vampire, but her daughter too. Damon's like, what are we gonna do with you, to Liz? And everybody is like, Damon, no, don't kill her. And he's like, relax, guys. I'm not gonna kill her. She's my friend. Other than like Elena and Stefan, I think this is one of the first times that we really see him care about somebody else that has tried to harm him. And so they decide that they're going to drain her of her vein, make her call out of work, say that she's going to be sick for a couple days. Damon gives her like better sheets in the cell that she's in and all this other stuff. And she's like, keep Caroline away from me. She's not my daughter anymore. I don't know if Damon does this for Caroline, for himself, or for Liz, but Caroline is listening and he knows that. Liz does not. And Damon tells Liz, you don't know how wrong you are about that. She is still your same old daughter. He also talks to Caroline to go easy on Liz a lot of times. At first, in season 1, they had a very strained relationship, Liz and Caroline. And Damon kind of like gets in the middle and tries to mediate on behalf of Liz. There is some point where Damon and Liz are having a conversation about something. I can't really remember what it was. And Liz is like, basically, just because I accept you for who you are doesn't mean I'm okay with your lifestyle. Damon is just like, is that what you said to your ex-husband too? Turns out in season 6 is when Liz is diagnosed with cancer and is dying. Damon is there for her. Damon sleeps in the hospital room. She's like, I paid extra to have a single room. And Damon is just like, you underestimate the number of women that would die to spend the night with me. She's like, I'm not dead yet. What do you want? Damon sees her in her office and is like, You know, dying from cancer gets you off the hook from work. She's like, yeah, but I can't. I have all these unopened cases. And he's like, well, let me help you solve them. And like, most of them are him. But the one she was afraid to ask him about ended up being Damon and Elena's parents. And it turns out it was just an accident and they were able to solve that. And he realizes that she wanted somebody to blame because that's what he would want to. And while he's helping her, he's like, you know what would make this better? And she's like, top right drawer. It was bourbon. She says she doesn't want to drink until she figures this case out. He brings her back home, tucks her in. She's not looking so good. He goes to get the bourbon. She's like, I'll take that drink now. Says some stuff about Caroline. He goes, no, stop. Like, you're going to be able to tell her this yourself. Let's just get some rest. I'm going to go get the bourbon. And then she's pretty much dead at this point. Well, she like, he rushes her to the hospital. Caroline gets there. It's super emotional. He also let Kai go free to try to siphon some of the cancer out of her, or at least the vampire magic, I think. Which he definitely shouldn't have done, but he was desperate to save Liz because he cares very deeply about her. And in a lot of ways, she was more of a mother to him than his own mother. And she has him make up for ditching his mother's funeral and not doing the eulogy to ask him to do the eulogy for her funeral. And it's beautiful. It is for Caroline, and it's exactly what she would have wanted. It was great. The whole funeral was great. It was like one of the saddest scenes, Caroline singing. But anyways, back to Liz and Damon. When Damon is under that Sybil stuff and his mind is like frozen and Damon is just like a vegetable, you see both Vicky Donovan and Liz Forbes. And I think it's because he carries a lot of guilt for some of the things that he had done to them, even though he hasn't really tried to actively hurt Liz, but he just kind of had her get caught up in the world and manipulated her at times. But again, he advocates for Caroline and for Liz and for their relationship. And I love that too, on both ends. Like, she's your daughter, Liz. And Liz, obviously, when accepts him for who he is. And when Damon realizes that she has the bourbon in her drawer, he's like, oh, this is what makes you a bad sheriff. And he's like, no. What makes me a bad sheriff is my best friend is the perp in half of my unsolved cases. More than half of my unsolved cases, really. But yeah, they have a great relationship. So that's why I put them at number 4. The last 3 were really hard for me to pick which spot they would be in. But here it is. Number 3, Bonbon. Damon and Bonnie's relationship starts off with like, honestly, they hate each other from the beginning. But it's not even like real hate. It's like lusty hate. Or like we're masking our hate with actual like because we don't want to admit our feelings. Bonnie blames Damon for a lot of things that happen in Mystic Falls right off the bat. And I mean, fair enough. He is responsible for a lot of it right off the bat. Although Stefan is the reason that her grandmother dies. Damon and Elena had a lot to do with it too. So just that group in general. And a big common interest that they had with each other was definitely Elena. They both were willing to risk everything at all costs for Elena, and Damon truly appreciated that about Bonnie, and vice versa. Damon is under the impression that the Gilbert device has been deactivated, and Damon thanks her and says, I owe you one. I do not take what you did lightly. And she goes, I did it for Elena. And I think that she actually feels guilty because she ends up saving him when he is caught and put into the fire. And I think that she tries to play it off like she's doing it for Stefan and Elena, but I think she's actually doing it for Damon. Damon also helps her survival rate go higher and fakes her death in front of Klaus, so Klaus thinks that she is out of the way and so she doesn't have to die. Another time, Damon is yelling at Bonnie like, you tried to kill me, and he's like I didn't though, and if I wanted to, I would have. And way before Bonnie was born, Damon had an agreement to protect the Bennett line anyways because of Emily Bennett and to get Catherine back, so he couldn't actually hurt her anyways, but he wanted that amulet back, and it ended up choosing Bonnie. And again, there are a lot of moments where they mask their relationship with hatred or mean feelings towards each other, but their biggest turning point obviously happens on May 10th, 1994. I'm just kidding. Kind of. I mean, it does happen during the prison world, and that is where they are trapped. Episode 522 of The Vampire Diaries. The other side is going down and Damon and Bonnie are stuck there. Nobody can go through anymore. Damon says, like, this place is going down, huh? And she's like, yes, it is. Bonnie says, I know there's probably a million people we'd both rather be stuck here with, but grabs his hand And it kind of indicates that they're going to go through it together. And he says, a couple thousand at most. And it kind of starts to fall apart and it flashes and they end up somewhere else. And it's assumed that they are dead. However, they're trapped in May 10th, 1994 by her grandmother, Sheila. She was sending Bonnie there regardless. And well, because she held Damon's hand, they got trapped there together, where they continue to mask their good relationship with hatred and witty mean banter. They are the only two people in this world for like 4 months. They're teasing each other, making fun of each other. Damon is making blueberry pancakes every day. They're grocery shopping. She's calling him Peter Pessimist, getting angry that she's like, I need hope. You need to stop. But they talk a lot. They play Tetris. They can do all kinds of things. And so one of these times that they go grocery shopping, they end up seeing Damon's car in the parking lot. And then Damon starts to like believe her that somebody is around them. And it turns out to be Kai Parker, who was actually, this is his prison. He was in prison there for doing horrible things to his family. And she tells Damon, like, we cannot let him out of this prison world. Like, you feel guilt. You make blueberry pancakes every day because of what you did on this day. And you thought this was your hell. You feel bad about it. He has no remorse. He does not care. We cannot let him out of here. But she thinks she killed Kai, which she didn't. And because it's his prison world and they don't want his sentence to end too early. But while they still believe he is dead, they are about to take the solar eclipse and get out of there, Damon and Bonnie. And now we have Damon asking the question, I bet there's about a billion people in the world that you'd rather be stuck with. And she says, not exactly. And they kind of smile at each other. And there's another point in the prison world where Kai puts his hands on Bonnie. And Damon says, we may be having an argument right now and we may not be getting along, but do not mistake that. Do not lay a hand on her. I actually like her. What do you think I'll do to you? And Bonnie actually gets her magic back because she is convinced that Damon's life is at risk and it may or may not have actually been, but she saves him and that's how she gets her magic back. They both protect each other because they both care about each other. So Kai thinks it'll be funny to make Damon suffer and to make him kind of come up with a choice between Elena and Bonnie. And he actually just lets this ride out and chooses Bonnie in these moments. And you don't think he's going to, you think he's going to kill her, but he ends up keeping her alive. And then there's some scenes in season 7 where you think he's going to let her die. And she's like, did you just question on saving my life? Did you hesitate to? And she's like, I'm not going to spend this time being like where you resent me. Like, I don't even get to see my best friend and you're the only connection I have to her. Deal with this. And he's like, well, in the first second, Bonnie, I thought how nice it would be to have Elena back in my arms. The second, I was holding her. The third, I realized you're my best friend and I wouldn't want anything to happen to you in the world. He tries getting her out of the prison world a few times. He tells Elena, like, she thinks that he's just caring about Bonnie to get her back because she doesn't have her memories. And he's like, this isn't about you. This is about Bonnie. I care about Bonnie. Period. We spend a lot of time together. I care about her. And when she finally comes back from the prison world, she gives him the most giant hug in the world. And she also gets the cure because that's what he set out to do for Elena, even though he didn't want it anymore. She was just continuing his mission. When Liv puts him and Elena into the prison world, he goes, Kai, if you hurt one hair on her annoying witch head, I will kill you. She's like, aw, how sweet. But why'd you have to call me annoying? Damon and Bonnie work together a lot. Damon also abandons Bonnie in season 8, and it's really sad. Or season 7, where he desiccates to be with Elena for 3 years. When he gets back, she's so angry with him. She cries to him, says, I hurt. This hurts me. Like, why are you going to do this? Please don't do this. And he ends up doing it because he's selfish. And I think deep down that he actually thinks he's doing everybody good. He thinks that he is the problem. But before they get to this point and they get to the armory, Bonnie helps save Damon. Damon saves Bonnie. They're always saving and protecting each other. Their witty banter and the way that they tease each other is hilarious. When Enzo dies, he is there for her. And they definitely have one of the best friendships. It was borderline romantic. It was not romantic. It was very platonic. But like, I personally, not everybody agrees, but I personally could have seen it becoming romantic. I just think Bonnie is too good of a friend to Elena. And that's just a line that she herself would never cross because she is an amazing friend all across the board. But her and Damon have a really great, cute, deep friendship. And I like how hard he tries to win her friendship back and doesn't let her die. And also convinces Enzo to go back so he can save her, so she doesn't give up. Very cute, very cute. He is also the only one that, when Bonnie is being reprogrammed, he is also the only one that is able to wake up Bonnie from that and ultimately saves her. And Enzo, technically. Okay, so number two is Damon and Alaric. I almost put him in number one, but for obvious reasons, I did not. Alaric's whole purpose to come to Mystic Falls is to kill Damon Salvatore because he blames Damon Salvatore for killing his wife, Isabel. Isabel gives him some magical ring. Stefan keeps asking him questions about this, and he assumes it's because of Rick when it's actually because of Elena. He admits publicly to both Elena and Alaric that he has killed Isabel and turned her, basically saying, like, she begged him to. Alaric tries to kill him. Damon ends up killing Alaric. However, Alaric ends up coming back to life because he was wearing the same ring that Jeremy was wearing. We actually see Alaric wearing this ring first. You think he might be a vampire, but it turns out he's just a vampire hunter with a vengeance. As time goes on, Damon and Alaric grow closer. Alaric sees humanity in Damon and loves and respects Damon. Alaric helps Damon get in to save Stefan. That night, Damon kind of smashes Alaric in the head with a bottle because he's like, oh, you know you hate me, blah, 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 blah. But we had fun. We were badass, blah. And he's like, I'm not going to fucking... And like shatters like a bottle over his head or punches him in the face or something. Well deserved, honestly. But they team up a bunch over the years. They get drunk together a lot. They are drinking buddies for sure. When Alaric dies because of Esther, Damon is a hot mess. He sits with them and they drink together. And they just have cute little banter, bromancy banter. So is this the part where you give me Rolling Meadow dreams? And he's like, hey, I told you that in confidence. And he's like, hey, I told you I would use that against you. Alaric is actually there a lot of the time when Damon and Elena have these like flirty moments and are going to save Stefan. And he is there for all these awkward moments and kind of just sits in the background. And I think, and he always roots for Damon. And it's more than just because he's his friend. I think it's just because he sees it. But he's also his friend and he roots for Damon. Even though Damon kind of sucks on some level, he cares about Damon too. So in season three, Damon is mad at Rick, or just upset in general with nobody agreeing with him and everybody underestimating him. And he ends up killing Rick. Says, here's your temporary funeral. So Damon goes up to him trying to tell him about Mason Lockwood. Alaric refuses to talk to him. And he's like, remember when we used to be friends and you helped me kill Mason Lockwood? Well, I think he's back with a vengeance. And boom, Mason Lockwood shows up right next to them at the bar. And in return for an apology from Damon, he will help them find a way to kill Klaus. And Damon struggles with apologies and admitting he's wrong, as we know. And Alaric's fed up with him, like, are you incapable of remorse? Just apologize. I mean, come on, Damon. And he says to Mason, sometimes I do things I just don't have to do. And Mason accepts that. And Alaric's like, what the fuck? That is not an apology. Turns out Mason did have information. Alaric needed to go in there. And Alaric was the only human that Damon trusted. And the only person, really, other than Elena. So Damon ends up recycling that same crap apology he used on Mason Lockwood, but says, hey, I only mean it to you. And their bromance starts up again. Damon's mad at himself because he chose to let his friend die in dignity, and it bit him in the ass because he comes back as a super upgraded, powerful original. But while Rick was still human, he daggers Elijah, so Damon doesn't die when he finds out that that is what could happen. But also, when Alaric dies, and they're doing some type of memorial service for all the people who have died, Damon thinks it's stupid and walks away and goes to Alaric's grave and says, in the end, when you lose somebody, every candle, every prayer is not going to make up for the fact that the only thing that you have left is a hole in your life where that somebody you cared about used to be. It is so sad. And he's just like, in the end, I miss you too, buddy. Alaric says back to him, but he can't hear him. In season four, at the graduation, when everybody comes back from the other side, Alaric is there and he runs into Damon in the hallway. And he's just like, how do I know this is you? He's like, would Silas know about Locker 42? And opens up a drink and he's like, and they hug and it's very cute. Damon gets shot up by one of the vampire hunters with werewolf venom a bunch. And basically Alaric comes to the rescue and saves him. He's like, Stefan, we're past the point of return. Like, there's no more Hail Mary phone calls left. And Klaus comes right in the nick of time for his baby boo thing. Caroline, sorry, side note. There is a time when Elena tries to sit in the seat that Alaric used to sit in next to him at the bar, and he's like, seat's taken. He's very emotional about his best friend. And he checks in on him and is always watching him and says, I can't leave you guys alone with Damon. You think I'm going to do that? And it's like, cheers, buddy. Very cute. So the episode that Alaric returns to the land of the living is actually the episode that Damon doesn't return and goes to the prison world with Bonnie. They spend months looking for them. Stefan gives up. Enzo does not. And Alaric is still trying to find leads and still trying to find things to come up with. He ends up compelling Elena because she's in so much pain and taking away her memories. And when Damon gets back, he can't get into his town. His girlfriend doesn't remember him. And he's like, hello, Professor Alaric Saltzman. Good to be back, bud. And he's just like, couldn't compel yourself? More PhDs and just saying like little digs at him about compelling Elena's feelings away. Alaric is happy that Damon is back. Stefan gave Enzo over to Trip Fell, one of the vampire hunters, and somehow Damon gets caught too. And Stefan, Caroline, Elena, and Alaric, who are all vampires, may have to go over the border. However, the car flips. It comes to Stefan and Rick's side. He ends up being healed by Joe, who follows him there. While the magic is stripping away because it was a treatable wound and she is a nurse and she loves saving lives. While Stefan gets both Enzo and Damon back over the border by triggering all of their wounds. Well, his wound because theirs was already triggered when the car flips. And then he goes to the hospital and he's like, I'm glad you survived. But if you had died, I'd have my girlfriend's memories back. Damon steals the Ascendant to get Bonnie back and compels Alaric to do so. And Joe is like, Damon must have had you do this. He's like, my best friend would never do that. And sure as shit, he did. They also have some good moments in season 8 when Damon becomes undesiccated. Or season 7, rather. I don't know. And Damon knows he's not out of the game and that he could never be out of the game because he is who he is. Alaric is so mad at Damon. Especially because Kai got out, and even though it wasn't his fault, it was his fault because he shouldn't have done that. And Alaric says, I'm your friend, damn it. You don't have many friends. Actually, he has the most. And really, the more I do this, the more I'm really not sure how, because overall, he's mostly not good to them more than they are not good to him. But it's hard not to love Damon. And so if you guys did not figure it out, my number one Damon Salvatore friendship is going to be his friendship with his brother, Stefan Salvatore. Honestly, I had a hard time with this one. I really wasn't sure if I should put them at number one, but in the end, how could I not? While they do have a lot of issues with each other, in the end, it does not matter ever. This is obviously Damon's longest friendship that he has ever had. In the words of Rebecca, they may fight like dogs, but in the end, they would die for each other. At least they know what family means. And over again, they prove this statement to be very true. They do not care what they are risking. They risk everything for each other over and over, despite what the other one has done to them. There are so many good moments. I really don't know where to start. So I hope you guys can follow through because I'm probably just going to be skipping around. We first see the brothers be introduced, having a very strained relationship, but in 2009, they hadn't seen each other in 15 years, and you think they just hate each other. Damon's literally there to make good on his promise of showing his brother an eternity of misery. Stefan has a lot of anger built up to him and resentment. He's trying to blame Stefan for all the kills that he's been doing, and eventually he decides to stay. And while, yes, Elena has a big part of them both staying, I truly think it also has to do with Stefan. He even says, what, do you think I'm going to be like you and we can be brothers again? I think that's something that they both missed, truly. And it always comes down to the love of a good woman. I believe Damon says that at one point. However, they both fell in love with the same woman in 1864 and pretty much the same exact woman again, at least the face. But as children, they were best friends. Damon always protected his baby bro. We see Giuseppe asking them both who took his money and nobody fessed up. It ended up being Lily, but we also see Damon taking the blame because he assumed it would be Stefan if it wasn't him. So when Damon gets bit by Tyler Lockwood, we see Stefan trying to find a cure in any way, shape, or form. And even though that has never been done, he is able to do so. He ends up turning himself over to Klaus in exchange for the cure to save his brother's life. In order to do that, he needed to turn into the Ripper. Which, just giving human blood to Stefan is basically like him not having his humanity on. We see him become Klaus's henchman for him. Damon and Alaric track Stefan's movements, and Elena is kind of left in the dark a little bit, but it's because Damon doesn't want to tell Elena that it's actually Stefan making the kills and not Klaus. Klaus is getting sick of Damon following them. Stefan assures Klaus that he can take care of it and sets up an arrangement to kill Andy in front of Damon, stopping Damon from saving her. Saying, "Stop trying to find me, stop trying to save me." And at that point, Damon is basically defeated and kind of gives up hope. Says, "We lost him, he's gone for good." But he ends up trying to get Stefan back anyways because Elena goes on this mission with Alaric and Alaric calls him in. They were supposed to be gone before the moon was full that night, but Klaus's hybrid experiment went terribly wrong and this hybrid was able to turn or start turning during the day. And Damon's hope becomes restored because he says, "Even in my brother's darkest place, he still couldn't let me die." And this whole time that Stefan's been gone, Damon and Elena obviously got closer. And he can see that Stefan is losing a chance with Elena. And Damon kind of sacrifices himself and helps Stefan kind of have a foot in the race because he feels guilty, I think. For example, there was a coin toss where one of them was supposed to kill Bonnie's mom. And Stefan lost the coin toss, but Damon ended up doing the killing anyways. He says, "You're barely over your last Ripper bend, hanging on by a thread with Elena." He says, "I don't really care what Elena thinks of me anymore." He's like, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing no humanity, Stefan, anymore. Klaus says, "The Salvatore brothers with an unshakable bond. When Elena makes her choice, will we finally see the brothers shake just a little bit?" And obviously, it hurts Stefan, but ultimately he's just like, "Damon, I'm not happy about Elena, but I'm not happy for you." That was super big of him and shows how much he really does love his brother. Both brothers have said to Lexi, even though they can't be around their brother, that they want her to help him because in the end they care about each other deeply. Eventually, Stefan starts to realize how much good Elena actually does do for Damon and how much she has helped turn him back into the brother that he once knew before he ultimately made him turn into a vampire. Stefan says, "Whatever happened between you and Elena, don't give up. Don't let it go. Fix it because she's the best thing that ever happened to you." And I think that proves how much he loved both of them, honestly. Even early on, when Catherine first starts to break them up, he's like, "Brother, like, she's going to pin us against each other. I don't care if you love Elena. It just shows that you care. And I'm not going to let Catherine rip that away from us." And Damon kind of replies with, "We have an unbreakable bond, brother." The scene where Damon comes back from the prison world and Stefan is in the family crypt and he's like, "I'm doing it. I'm talking to everybody that's dead in my family crypt. Everyone but you, Damon." He's like, "I'm lost. I'm not doing so good without you, brother." And throws a bottle of bourbon. And in that moment, Damon pops up. "What's the matter with you? I'm gone a few months and you think it's okay to waste a perfectly good bottle of bourbon?" Stefan's like, "How am I seeing you right now?" Damon's like, "This stuff's good, but it's not. I see dead people good." "I'm alive, Stefan. I'm here." And they just hug and it's so beautiful. Luke Parker is another character that comments on their brotherhood. He says, "My family is pretty screwed up. You guys are different. You care about each other. That's why I'm going to help you." When Elena is so distraught and is about to burn down her house, Stefan's like, "You can help her. Use the Sire Bond to fix this." So Damon being Damon tells Elena to shut her humanity off because that's what he would have done in this situation or even lesser situations. However, when Stefan confronts him about this and says, why didn't you tell her that she was going to be okay or anything else, basically, he's like, she needs her humanity. What if she kills somebody? Stefan's like, she has you. He's like, I wouldn't have been enough. It was her brother. And the way that they look at each other in that moment, I'm getting a little teary-eyed just thinking about it. Stefan's like, if it had been you. And Damon's just like, I know, brother. I know. Like, they couldn't imagine losing each other or how hard that would be. And that's like probably one of the worst things for them. And that's why they think that about Elena. And it's true. In season 6, when Caroline and Stefan have their humanity off, Damon goes to the prison world to get his mother back to be able to get him to turn his humanity back on. Lily tells Damon that she will not leave the prison world without her family. And he is a little hurt by this, but ultimately he says, listen, they are not coming. We will come back for them. Stefan Salvatore is my family. And if you do not come help him, I will leave you here to rot. And then he curates an entire speech for her to say to get him to turn his humanity back on. And it's awesome. It's so good that he knows his brother so well. And like I said, like, a sibling is a very special type of relationship because you guys kind of grow up with the same shit. You grow up with the same trauma, the same parents most of the time, especially back then in the 1800s. Blended families weren't as common or accepted. They both felt their father's abuse. They both felt their mother's loss. They both were shot by their father on the same day. I think Damon really felt responsible for his younger brother because his father sucked and he always tried to protect him. There is a scene where Stefan is expelled from the stone, the Phoenix Stone, and he ends up in a human body. He feels really abandoned and really betrayed, again, by Damon. He was going to help him do a transfer spell, but when he found out that when he died, he would not be able to see Elena because that's when she would probably wake up and Reyna had no more lives. And he decided that he wasn't going to do it. And then at the last minute, he changed his mind again, but it was too late. He's like, me and Valerie are doing the transfer spell. He's like, no, before that, you stayed in a coffin for 3 years after I got stabbed in the chest by Reyna Cruz because of you. Damon really felt like he was just doing more harm than good. But we see how much it really affects Stefan. Reyna Cruz was able to read their minds because she's linked to them magically when she stabs them. And he's like, well, even in after everything that's happened, like, you didn't want Valerie, you didn't want Caroline, you wanted your brother. After everything he's done to you, that's wild. So basically when he says he bailed on him and he was about to do the transfer spell and like, he's like, even before that, and Stefan's just like, why is it so hard for you to make the right choices? And don't say Elena because you lived without Elena for 160 years. And he's like, well, until I met Elena, you're right. I wasn't interested in doing the right thing by anybody. He's like, your brother included. Yes, my brother included. Damon's like, you mad? You resent me? Stefan's like, yes. Damon's like, good, then get up and come kick my ass yourself. You are not going to die this way, Stefan Salvatore. And he motivates his brother to kind of get up and start moving. Stefan brings up hide and seek and how he's never going to find him. And because he never found him when he was little, when he used to hide in his father's office, Damon was like, we weren't supposed to be in there. He's like, but why did you never find me? And Damon's like, because I was scared. I wasn't scared for me. I was scared that you would get caught, Stefan. And Stefan kind of passes out in the snow. And right before that, he's like, well, you're never going to find me. And then Damon drives up and finds him. And he sends him to be somewhere safe to get medical attention. And the vampire who's trapped in Stefan's actual body is the one who runs him off the road, tries to kill him, almost burns him, but he runs into a house. He's like, wow, there is privileges to being a human. I can just walk into anybody's home. Thank goodness somebody owned it. Am I right? And Damon saves him at the last minute. Stefan only got into this entire Reyna Cruz mess because of Damon. And when they're all on the other side and Bonnie is the anchor, Damon has a breakdown because Stefan is dead and on the other side and they lost their only shot to bring them all back. And he is just absolutely losing it because he's so distraught over the idea that his brother may not return to him. Right before Stefan takes Reyna's blade in the chest, Damon thinks that he burnt Elena's body and is really upset with himself and is trying to kill himself and is doing a to the death fight with Julian And Stefan goes in and saves him from himself. Turns out Elena's coffin was perfectly fine. Stefan also saves Damon when Rebecca has him tied up. Damon tells Stefan when he's struggling with his bloodlust and addiction, "I'll be there to pick you up every time you fall. I'll be there every step of the way." Stefan also gives up his mission to kill Klaus in order to save Damon, and he wanted nothing more but to kill Klaus. And he doesn't do that, so Damon will live. Either way, he kind of saved them all, so it was a good thing that that didn't happen. Damon takes a mission that ultimately leads to his first kill ever as a human to make sure that his baby brother was okay. And in the Hellstone, he actually becomes a deserter for his baby brother, and he would do that, I think, even in real life if he needed to. Damon also does not go in the 50s to war with Stefan when he could have, because Lexi says, "You are going to hurt him negatively. You are selfish. Do the right thing." And he does do the right thing by his brother. Even Elena, at some point when Damon is with her in the hotel in Denver, she's like, "It's not going to be me who brings him back. It's going to be that he loves you that saves him." Stefan goes across the anti-magic border to save his brother and Enzo, and partly because he feels guilty, but partly because he loves his brother. And the reason that Stefan and Klaus even become friends, or that Klaus even starts to like Stefan, is because family is important to him, just as it is to Klaus, even though Klaus is more like Damon and has a harder time showing it. And Caroline says, "I wish so bad that your brother would come back, because if he did, I know that you would too." There is a time where Elijah is about to kill Klaus, and Stefan's like, "Are you sure you can do this? Because there's many times over the years that I wanted to kill my brother, and I've never been able to." And like Stefan, Elijah also could not. Family is power. They both really do care about each other's happiness. When Stefan is going to marry Caroline, Stefan is like, "I really hope I get to see this one day with you and Elena, Miss Happiness." And Stefan is like, "I hope you do too, bud. I'm going to need a best man." And they hug. Their hugs kill me. And while Bonnie pushes Hell's Fire back into the Hellstone, Stefan is now human and says, "Let me do this for you. Let me do this for me, if not for you." When they both want to sacrifice themselves with Catherine to make sure that she ends up dead, Damon is like, "No, I am the big brother. I am going to protect you," and compels him. Stefan's like, "I don't know how he didn't realize that I would not spend one day on this earth as a human without taking Vervain." Comes back with a vial, gives him the cure, pushes him out of the way, and jumps into the fire with Catherine. They both said in those moments before he was compelled that he loves him. They love each other. It was so cute. They both want to sacrifice themselves for each other. And the hello brothers at the end. Hello brother. really made me cry, because he was just so afraid that he was never going to see him again. I couldn't tell you who the better brother is. I do have a video. My friends in this video, they did come up with their own decision. However, I did not, because I think they're both just great brothers to each other, period. I don't think there is a better brother. They have a great bond regardless of what you think. Hope you guys liked this video or podcast, wherever you're viewing it or listening to it. And I'll see you guys next week. Don't forget to follow, subscribe, and give us a like. Thank you. Bye-bye.